La La Land. Like the sheep's wool.
Is that in the episode, Chris?
Your decision, not mine.
Okay, are you ready?
I was born ready.
Born ready. I don't know if I was. Welcome to the Sydney Property Muppets Podcast. My name is Kurt Lawther, and with me and forever is...
Chris Clark, buyer's agent.
I'm the real estate agent.
Let's not forget that part.
Okay, Chris, we're getting to the end of 3 months into the year, which means almost 25% of the year has gone, and some people have bought, some people have sold, but there is a ton of people out there that are still in either no man's land, no woman's land, whatever you want to say.
Let's just classify. I think we can classify it in a synopsis. Unfortunately, fatigue.
Buyer fatigue. They haven't bought.
Where to from here? So
yes.
I think, you know, the confusing part is you have been looking. You might have had some people out there who have gone to a couple of auctions. They've missed out. You know, we're now approaching Easter. They thought, you know, coming into the year, they'd probably have been moving in their property. Now they're not. This episode's all speaking to you specifically saying, and the seller as well, how can we help? So Kurt, what are your tips for helping our buyers get off the property merry-go-round?
Well, so Chris, what I actually want to talk about, and this is not to spruik using a buyer's agent, highly recommended, but buyer's agents generally typically will buy a property for a client within 4 to 8 weeks. Chris, you can go into the details after.
Yep.
Sometimes it's quicker, sometimes later, but on average, it's 4 to 8 weeks, which means if a buyer's agent was looking for a client from the start of January, at the end of February, most clients, they would have bought and they're moving on with their lives. So my question to you is, what skills, tips, and tricks are you doing to make sure you secure that property for a client? For the average client.
No, it's a really good one. Look, obviously not spruiking it, but it's good to unveil what buyers, they can reflect and think, what are they doing compared to what Chris is about to go through? So probably number one thing is, this is our job 24/7. So, you know, we are not distracted. We don't have other work calls. We don't have other things. Yes, we've got personal lives, but in essence, this is all we're really focused on. So
well, it's your job.
It's our job. So as an example, I think a good one to bring to life is we secured a property in Manly just last week in a 3-bedroom apartment for a client. Now, she's a senior executive. Now, you might think listening, oh, this doesn't apply to me. Chris is talking about senior executive. But I think this applies across the board anyway. She had identified a property, so she was getting us to negotiate. We went and assessed and inspected the property. And the negotiations were, from start to finish, were basically 24 hours. What that entailed for her was 2 phone calls.
Okay, so just 2, nice and easy for her?
1 call at the beginning and 1 call basically at the end to say, let's execute the contract and let's get things done. With the agent, I probably spoke to the agent anywhere between sort of a dozen to maybe 15 times. I spoke to the solicitor 4 times and I spoke to her mortgage broker another 3 times. Now, all those calls probably in essence are, you know, 3-4 hours worth of being on the phone back and forth, but also using my experience, the respect between an agent and a buyer's agent, be able to get the deal and construct it all together so they were able to exchange in 48 hours. Why am I talking about this? There is no way her as a buyer, not that she couldn't have it, she's smart, she's more intelligent than I am, no issue with finances sorted. She only had the time. When I say she spoke to me twice, those were the only time she had available within her calendar at all. Like, she is a busy individual. So without me, there's no way she would have secured the property. There's another buyer who would have definitely lost it.
Well, I was going to say also, if you're trying to work out how that applies to you, imagine you might be a single parent, single mum, single dad. You also might have 2 parents working, super busy. You then have got the kids. You've got no mental energy, no physical energy. And even if you could have made maybe 5 to 6 calls over the 2 phone calls, that often is still not enough to get a deal done at times.
Yeah, and I think it's what we unearth there is a little bit more is the experience. So I know, you know, what the comparables are. I know the agents, so we've done some work with together before, so know what their style is going to be like. And also just...
What do you mean by style, Chris?
Every agent, I think, has... It's like sport. Every quarterback in the NFL has certain plays or certain things they throw in, long or short passes, you know, thing that they are more likely to be doing than unlikely doing. So what I mean by that is that particular agent was brilliant and is brilliant to deal with, because what he said he wanted for his clients And what I said I wanted was done with an element of a huge element of respect that and transparency as best we can. There's obviously things you're not going to share 100%, but level of transparency, man, you want this much, I want to pay this much. Let's look at all the comparables. Let's just also be fair and reasonable. How do we get this deal done? And like I said, it was a dozen plus phone calls, but in essence, it was quite a simple error. Whereas I know from talking to buyers out there and also dealing with other agents, that's not always the case. So, you know, I could have dealt with a different, completely different agent on the exact same property and the outcome and the process would have been completely different.
Well, flowing into that story, I know someone who buying in a different market, but still, let's say the Sydney property market,
right,
went to the property, had there was lots of groups there. The agent said, we're going to be taking offers on Monday. They called back to put their offer in on the Monday and they got told the property was sold.
Wow.
Let's just call it 30K over the guide.
Okay.
But it was sold. The person I know had a lot more to spend.
Yep.
Not saying they would have spent to their max, but obviously they could have been in contention. And they were quite frustrated and perplexed that the agent said they'd get back to them and they wouldn't.
Yeah, look, I think...
So what are you doing there, Chris, to, I guess, ensure that you're putting your best foot forward, taking your buyer's agent cap off? Because obviously, as an agent, agents, you've got that respect where you're going to be talking and you know that the buyer's agent's serious because someone's paying them to come to that home and negotiate for them. However, there are hundreds and thousands of buyers that don't have an agent. They're just representing themselves.
Yes.
And but the agent has to decipher.
This is why we've created Sydney Property Muppets. Right? This exact topic, why? Because I get the frustration. People come to me and then use my services after having very similar situations and they are pulling their hair out. You know, agent, all intents and purposes, said a deal put together on Monday. The buyer then calls back Monday and the deal's done.
Yeah.
And not with them.
And I was going to say, I'm just going to quickly jump in.
Okay.
What you got to remember as well, the agent's interest is in their vendor. Now,
yep, they might look like they're your friend and they're on your side.
At the end of the day, legally, they are for the vendor. So they've got to try and get the best outcome for their vendor. So in that scenario, even though there was another buyer that could have paid more, they could have already been well over the vendor's expectations, and in a property where sometimes you might miss out because you don't accept something that's already above your expectations,
They
could have been like, sir, let's just take it, let's
move
run
on
with it.
So back to my little mini rant, did the buyer there, whilst the agent said we'll come back on Monday, did the buyer there indicate strongly enough that they were interested and going to be part of that process? It's something you very clearly need to indicate to the agent. There is no two ways of doing this, right? There is definitely one way of there's ambiguity. So I think in this scenario, the agent probably went, there's a buyer, all intents and purposes, who may be interested.
Yeah.
I don't believe he was left with a feeling of the agent going, this individual is definitely interested. Now, what can you do to make sure that the agent comes back to you and treats you in that process? I think number one is tell the agent. You know, simple things, simple wording of do not sell this property without involving me in the process. Texting the agent, if you can't get a hold of them, if you go on the inspection, and this doesn't mean you're definitely going to buy it.
Yep.
You might go on the inspection and go, it's probably the best we've seen, not too sure. Whilst you're in that process, indicate the agent, please don't sell this property without involving us in the process.
Well, Chris, you had a little tactic you were telling me about.
The text message?
Yes.
Yeah, so we're both in the same path here. Add the agent, and you can catch us later on, but add the agent's details into your phone. Put them in first name, last name, which agents they work for. You might even put the property details there. Then if they ever call you, you know exactly who it is calling you, so you'll take that call. But in particular, send a message. And I typically send that message, particularly if I'm going into a new area, I don't know the agents, typically I do, but if I don't know the agents that well, I add the first agent, second agent on my phone. I text both of them in like a group text message saying, hi, my name's Chris. We just met at 17 George Street. Just let me know and keep us involved in the process if and when it ever goes to the sale part of the process. So that's a pretty blunt ish text message. It's black and white saying, I want to be involved. You know, it can then get sold without my involvement. Well, unfortunately, good and bad agents out there. But I'm pretty sure like 99.99% of the time, that agent is going to contact, and particularly me, because I'm a buyer's agent. But I think even as a buyer, if you'd sent that, it's highly likely they'll get back to you.
So one thing we often, and I've sort of changed my vendor meetings when I'm having meetings after open homes.
Yep.
I've changed it to a Tuesday.
Okay. And
the reason being is I used to like to have my vendor meetings on a Monday to show I'm prompt, I'm there, I've gone through. But we get a lot of voicemails. First up on Monday,
yeah,
people are back at work, you know, busy lives, busy work.
Is it you're leaving voicemails?
No, I'm leaving voicemail to the buyers that have come through, and a lot of the vendor report the first day is left voicemail. And so therefore...
No voicemail.
Sometimes no answer. They don't answer. And so I've actually made it towards the Tuesday, so therefore when I try people again... And some people are still interested, but I haven't heard back from them. I haven't been able to get in contact. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes they're a bit disappointed when they weren't involved in the process. If things moved quickly.
I'm sure you've had people who eventually get on the phone and they go, I didn't know who this was.
Yeah.
I didn't recognize this number. Like we said, add the number in your phone.
Yep.
Sorry, keep going.
And sort of similar, if you don't like the property, just send a text message and that might save the agent a phone call, for example. Or if you like it, let them know that you're interested. You don't have to reveal your budget if...
No, that's what I was going to say. The dreaded thought out there for most buyers listening to this is, but Chris and Kurt, if I tell the agent that I'm interested, the next question out of the agent's mouth, to buyers, not always to buyers agent, but to buyers, what's your budget?
Yes, Chris. What's your response as a buyer's agent?
Well, as a buyer's agent, I think...
We'll do two scenarios. Yeah, as a buyer's agent and then as a...
As a buyer's agent, there is a great degree of respect. I'm able to get data points the same as an agent does. So let's say an agent's guiding one and I know it's pretty likely so it's sort of 1.2 in the current market with the comparables. I'm going to, in a way, allude to, look, around this sort of pricing, and obviously I'm trying to get less from my client than more, and share the expectation. I also might even say, oh, look, it's probably going to sell between this range and this range. In that, when I say it's probably going to sell between this range and this range, I haven't actually said what my budget is. I've just said this is where I believe it's going to go. Secondly, sometimes, and again, this jovial part, I think people may not understand that within the world of real estate, agent, buyer's agent, there's actually a lot of friendly conversations overall going on.
Bit of a tango, some could say.
Tango. For some reason, everything every time I hear of Tango, I always think of True Lies with Arnold Schwarzenegger. But anyway, another time, another podcast. I
haven't seen it.
Oh, jeez. Geez, I'm old.
Maybe I'm uncultured.
What was I saying? So, but then, you know, to then leave the agent with an understanding of where your number lies, so they can have some confidence there to go, okay, I know where Chris is going to be. Now, as a buyer, what would you say? What does a buyer do in this scenario? They're going to ask the agent, what's your budget?
So before we actually get to that question, I think it's very important to do something well before that.
Okay.
When you come into the open home, is you need to be likable.
Okay.
Because the agent needs to remember you.
Mm-hmm.
There, for you to be able to sort of have the tango with the agent in terms of once it starts getting into a negotiation, everything's negotiation straight away. You're talking, agents are judging you, you're judging the agent. But you need to be able to be friendly with the agent. Basically, leave an impression that if you say to them, please don't leave me out of, or please let me know.
Yeah, don't leave me out of it, yeah.
In whatever way it works best, in the way you text or talk.
Communicate, yeah.
They're going to remember who you are and then... they're going to almost want to get back to you because you've been respectful. You've actually been a good human being because at the end of the day, agents, we do come across some people that if we don't have to speak to them again because they've been rude, obnoxious, we thought they showed absolutely no interest. We can only get back. We can only have so many really, really good conversations with people, buyers and sellers, throughout the week. And if someone doesn't show any interest, doesn't, I guess, ask the right questions, walks out, we will still contact them, but if we don't get them after two voice messages.
So how does, let's imagine, you know, there's a buyer, someone listening here, no offense to you, I'm going to talk about an avatar, but, you know, he's an accountant, doesn't have charisma oozing out of their body, is very nervous. We've talked about how nerve-wracking this is. How do they build rapport when they're like, or Chris and Kurt, I actually really will struggle to build rapport because I'm going in sweating, trying to just assess the property. My idea of building a relation with the agent is so far secondary because I'm more focused on the property and that's it.
So this is where I've always talked about. People think property searching is rainbow colored glasses, nice and beautiful.
Rainbow colored glasses.
Rosy, whatever it is. It is a serious...
You said rainbow.
It is a serious game where it is a battle the whole time. And unfortunately, if you don't have that character, you need to find someone that is. Whether that's in the form of a buyer's agent, whether that is in the form of a trusted friend, someone you trust.
Yep.
Now, if you don't have that person, unfortunately, you're competing against people that will have that person or have that personality. And like anything, it's almost like a business. You're trying to acquire something.
Yeah, through that process. Okay. Now, dreaded question.
Yep.
Right? Or dreaded thought. So you've indicated the agent. I really want to be contacted. You've texted both of them and so forth on the Friday. You call back the agent on Monday. Property sold.
Can I jump back? Because I want to actually make sure we answer the other question about the budget question. So if an agent does ask you, what is your budget?
Yes.
My first initial response would be, at this price guide, I've got interest.
Right.
Or
this is you as your agent talking?
If I was a buyer.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's talking to you when you say this price guide? You're saying as a buyer.
As a buyer, I'm saying...
So you're saying it's $1 million. The agent says $1 million is the guide price. You as a buyer says, look, around the $1 million price guide, I'm interested.
I've got interest.
Okay.
If it's going to go for more, I still may have interest and I want to be involved in the discussions. However, you're indicating that this is where it's going to sell for, so I've got interest.
Okay, yeah, fair.
Because, and this is where I want agents to be a lot more ethical,
yep,
is that if we're guiding at this price, then be aware, buyers, that an agency agreement has 10%.
Yeah,
if it's $1 million, it can actually be...
In the contract, $1 million to 1.1.
1.1. But because they're saying it's guiding this, where you think it's going to land, and you say, look, at this price guide, I've got interest.
Mm-hmm.
And I still may have interest if it goes up. But what you're quoting to me, that's, I've got interest.
Yeah. I think as a buyer's agent, it's interesting because we can cut through that quite quickly. So let's say it's a guide of me, and I look at it and go, look, nearest comparable sold for two. I can have a discussion pretty bluntly with the agent to say, is this going to take 1.2 or more to secure? Agent might say to me very transparently, yes, it does. And my budget's like 1.1. I'm like, great, thank you so much. You've saved me all the time because our budget's 1.1. We walk away. If it happens to go less, the agent obviously will come back to me on that one. But also, typically, 99% of the time, it's actually just saved me all the time and effort in there, wasting my buyer and wasting my time through that process.
Well, I think also, I know you had another question there, to round this off, is that our podcast, we try and keep it between 10 to 15 minutes. Sometimes we don't do the greatest job, but we try and keep it between that timeline. There are so many scenarios.
Between variables.
Variables, different questions, different... And that question that you asked about what your budget, it also depends on the agent that is asking it.
Yeah,
and
true.
As Chris, who sees lots of agents.
Correct.
And you do this.
You're the best, but I do see lots of agents. You know who you are.
You know, every situation is different. We're just trying to provide some frameworks and some ideas that if you are missing out on property because an agent sold it beforehand, it's, have you done everything that you possibly can to get the best result?
Yep.
Now, just because you do that doesn't mean you're going to necessarily get the result you wanted. But if you've ticked all the boxes, what you should have done, what you should have said, how you played the role, how you negotiated, you're putting your best foot forward.
Yeah.
But it doesn't guarantee success.
No.
Like me trying to win clients' business. I can follow up when they ask, give the best advice, best information, and I still might not win the listing.
Yeah.
And that's something people also need to accept.
Correct. How are we going there? It's pretty, as you said, it's a lot of a tango. There's a lot of information there. I said earlier on about that point around, what happens in a scenario where you do indicate and the agent doesn't come back to you. I guess this podcast, we probably can't get into that. Look, there's fair trade, there's other things you can do. in essence, though, you're probably just not wanting to deal with that agent moving forward is probably the shortest one. But we do need to get on to our three quick questions.
Yes, I was.
Sense of time. So three quick questions. This is a part of it we love. We go back and forth, give each other three questions for each other, so six in total. We don't know what they are. The first one's very property-centric, usually on topic or on brand. Next one, maybe not. And last one, definitely can be a bit cowboyish. Basically, the rule is no defending.
Yeah, no defending. The first one, I want to go first. As a buyer's agent, has an agent never got back to you?
Where
you've lost the property?
No. A really good question. No, I never had that feeling. That's interesting. Yeah. Okay. Good question, that one. That was really good by you. Have you ever got an offer, not at auction, but an offer that is down to the hundreds? So like they've said, oh, we want to offer 780 and 888.
No.
Cool, good. That's okay. Keep going. Come on, roll with me here. Can't be able to defend on that one.
I wanted to add a funny story to it.
All right, another time we are.
Do buyer agents ever get buyer fatigue?
Yes. But we recalibrate ourselves, a lot of meditation, and jump back on the horse. We know it's our job, right? So there's going to be times that you hear that is harder, but overall,
yep.
Shouldn't have defended there, but yeah. All right. You ready?
just absolutely whipped me for wanting to add a story.
Sounds about right. Okay. You're renovating a property.
Yeah.
Right? It's three bedroom, one bathroom at the moment.
Yep.
You can, within the current configuration, add a bathroom. Now, if that bathroom was A, an ensuite, or B, just another shared bathroom, do either of those increase capital growth? Is one better than the other? Is an ensuite better than a second addition of bathroom? Which one?
Ensuite.
Ensuite, really? I want to take this offline.
Yeah.
Oh, go on.
Yeah, my opinion is that people are looking for, if it's in the master, an ensuite.
Yeah, right. Interesting. I personally don't think it adds a lot to capital growth. Man, this is a good one. We can talk about some. Actually, we might have a guest coming on, Ovayo, and we might talk about renovations, and let's ask her that question in a few weeks.
We'll definitely
come back to your turn now.
My last question. What's your favourite way to celebrate something?
Over a cold beer.
Over a cold beer?
Yeah. Okay. Champagne, but cold, you know, pop a bottle of champagne, but yeah, cold beer and cheers, whoever that's been done with.
I like it.
Short and sharp, that's what comes to mind.
Yeah.
All right. Last one.
Last question.
What is, you only have one word. One word to describe Tony, your boss. What's that word?
Amazing.
Ah! Who says real estate agents don't? kidding. Amazing could be reviewed anyway. Well, as we always say, our advice is general in nature. Please speak out to or reach out to your finance or professional experts in the area. But thank you, as always, for dropping by.
Yep. If wherever you're watching this, either please follow, subscribe, please send it to just one person. We're not asking you to go and berate your family to watch it or your friends to watch it, but just one person that you think would benefit from this video.
And I think one thing we could ask for everybody is review is amazing. So if you're listening on Spotify, if you're on YouTube, leave a comment underneath. Those little touches, subscribe to us. Are huge.
They talk about paying it forward. You know, if you feel that putting a 5-star review, which would be amazing, is paying it forward to the world, we would absolutely love it.
Anyway, the Sydney Property Muppets, signing off. Turn off.
I've got to keep this part going as a podcast, mate.
Jesus, 24 minutes.